We've got Nicky Newton-King, who is the former CEO of the JSE, standing by to talk to us about a number of boardroom discussions. And we've also got Nicky in the position at the moment as chairman of Stellenbosch University Council. So, Charles, I know you're still there. I'm waiting for Nicky to come up in a moment. And there you go, Nicky. We've spoken to a number of players this morning. We're looking at Bitcoin. I'm not sure, Nicky, if you have a Bitcoin portfolio. Did you think I was going to start there?
I didn't think you would start there, Bronwyn. But no, I'm like Charles. I'm a little bit wary about the digital assets for the moment.
Let's move to more tangible things. And Nicky, I'd be remiss if we didn't go straight to Stellenbosch, to Wilgenhof, the story that has been doing the rounds. You did pen an opinion piece in the Daily Maverick that was printed on the 1st of November. And I just wanted to really get your sense of where to from here, what your thoughts are based on the back of that article that you penned recently.
Ronan, it wouldn't be you if you didn't start with the most controversial. So, I mean, I think the first thing to recognize is Stellenbosch is an incredible place. It's home to 35,000 students, over half of whom are Black, over half of whom are women, which I think is a surprise to many people. And we're blessed with very generous alumni, very committed alumni, very bright students, and a very diverse stakeholder group. So since the beginning of January, when the Wilgenhof story broke, 1,700 articles have been written about just that issue. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that what happened...
1,700 articles.
1,700, and I'm on the shy side of that. 1,700 articles of that, around that. And what does that tell you? It tells you that Wilgenhof, what happens at Wilgenhof is important, not just to its alumni, but to Stellenbosch's broader, diverse stakeholder group. But the point of my op-ed was to make the point that the noise is disappointing because we have an agreement with all stakeholders that we have to draw a definitive line on practices of the past. We have an agreement with the current students and management that we're going to roll out a facilitated rejuvenation process, the very same process that council has identified as necessary to drive wholesome change. But so the noise that you read in those 1,700 articles and the media interviews, etc., make that process of change so much more complex. It's also disappointing because it detracts from what a university really is, which is it's around its academic project. And in that regard, Stellenbosch is doing the most amazing things. And I suppose it's important to recognize that, you know, the pain of change, we see this in our schools, we see this in the public sector, we see this in the private sector. It is not unique to Stellenbosch, but it is an opportunity for Stellenbosch, and I think we must acknowledge that. It is an opportunity for the university to show how one can navigate pain in fractured spaces and how one can move forward. So my op-ed was frankly just a call to everyone to lower the temperature. I think it's important that we acknowledge the pain of all stakeholders, that every one of us has an interest in an outcome. And I think we have to use this moment to make wholesome change, to make systemic change, and that then people can look back at Stellenbosch and say, well, that's what it means to be a truly diverse, truly inclusive environment where all stakeholders belong. And my real and honest view is that if we were committed to that, Stellenbosch, which has a very interesting history in this country's political evolution, will be able to be looked back in a couple of years' time and people will say, wow, it's moved from there to here. And that journey was not easy, but everybody came together and we're so proud of the outcome that we get to. So that was the purpose of the op-ed, and I'm quite convinced that the nature of our stakeholders will get us there.
So bottom line, Nicky, you're asking all stakeholders to stand down from the noise, give you the space to navigate this, including myself. You're asking me to stand down from the conversation now, aren't you?
Yes, Ronwyn, let's move on.
And we've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, life post the JSE, very busy. I mean, Nicky, you're on the boards of MTN, Investec, AngloGold Ashanti. I think the list goes on and on. Have you ever been busier?
You know, I was actually just saying to my family, no, I've not actually been that much busier. What is fantastic is the context shifting. You've got my three listed boards are completely different, in completely different sectors, different people. You know, Investec listed here and in London, MTN listed here, but businesses all around the rest of the continent. AngloGold listed in America, but domiciled in the UK, not listed here. So completely different spaces. I find that interesting, challenging intellectually, fascinating to work with incredible people.
And then, of course, the education side with Stellenbosch.
Well, I mean, Stellenbosch has kept me extremely busy ever since I joined the council 2 years ago, and more than 2 years ago. And I became chair in an unusual way because our previous chairman unfortunately died at a very young age. And so I was unexpectedly pushed into that space. And it has been quite a journey. But, you know, there's something quite special about working with incredibly bright people. Everybody round the table, you know, are professors and doctors of this, two doctors. In fact, when I started chairing, I said, look, would you mind if we were just on first name terms? Because I was going to get the protocol completely wrong. So that's what we do, first name terms. And I find a multi-stakeholder space. It's obviously hugely challenging, as we talked about right at the very beginning. But if you crowd in different perspectives on complicated issues and you're prepared to actively listen, not competitively listen, but actively listen, you get the most incredible outcomes on complicated issues. So it's a privilege to chair Stellenbosch.
And I need to get insight, obviously, from those boardroom discussions, as you say, completely different sectors across the spectrum. But the general sentiment, Nikki, is it the same in the boardroom right now when it comes to South Africa Inc.? We've just heard from Charles de Villiers, who's got a big play on the South African listed company environment right down through the mid-tier cap and small caps. What is the overriding sentiment? Does it cut across all the boardrooms?
I think when things are at a macro level, difficult, that sentiment cuts across. The question of how you decide what your appetite is for navigating that can differ. I mean, AngloGold, for instance, isn't in this country anymore. And of course, that predates the GNU. But I would definitely say that the advent of the GNU, the fact that we can have a peaceful election, the fact that people are really sort of wanting to be at work, wanting to build, this is a palpable feeling in the boardrooms. What's interesting, in the internationals is they look like an AngloGold will look back at South Africa with less engagement now, because although it has its team here and so it's important to it, it doesn't have a business there. So the sense is slightly different.
International, you mentioned international. We would definitely be out of line if we didn't get your thoughts on the Trump trade, the Trump bump. There are all sorts of terms being thrown around. As we close out, Nikki, your thought leadership status weighs in heavily. The US, give me your thoughts on how this pans.
Well, at a personal level, I've really struggled to understand how his stated opinions on things from a values perspective can in any manner be overlooked. And I think we're going to be challenged at going forward as his economic policies are potentially quite positive for certain industries. What does it mean for our values call on certain things? For instance, on green energy, as an example, just to take one example. So I think we're headed for some pretty critical questions which challenge companies as to sort of, you know, how sure are you about your commitment to the things that we've always felt are important in bringing people together rather than splitting them. At the same time, Bronwyn, we have to start to ask, why is it that the polls and the media got it so wrong? What is it that we're missing? I don't have an answer to that, but I think we have to ask that question, because it's not as if he didn't say what he was planning to do. It was out there, but it was sort of regarded as not something one takes seriously. So I think there's a moment also to say, why did we react like that? And what does this mean for if you look around the globe, how many governments are pivoting right of center or right, and not really where the sort of compass is at our dinner party conversations.
Nikki, I think you've teed up our next conversation here on Biz News already. It's going to be a political one, but always clear, straight thinking from you. Nikki Newton-King, thank you so much for joining us here on Biz News Briefing.